Managing migration has been a challenge for the European Union for years. Today, it'll put forward a solution. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The European Commission is set to detail new mandatory measures that'll provide funding for EU member states in return for taking in refugees. It's pushed most strongly by Germany and was brought forward after fires this month on the Greek island of Lesbos left more than 12,000 migrants and refugees stranded. Under the new so-called mandatory solidarity mechanism, each member state would accept a number of refugees in return for a reported nearly $12,000 per adult. But the plan is likely to face fierce opposition, as the BBC's Kevin Conley reports.
Of all the problems that beset the European Union, none is more chronic or more corrosive than migration. The search for solutions began even before the upheaval of 2015, saw a million migrants, refugees and asylum seekers arrive, mainly across the Mediterranean. The deal under which Turkey had agreed to hold back part of that tide of humanity in return for cash payments is showing signs of strain. That leaves the EU countries where migrants first land, notably Greece and Italy, bearing the bulk of the burden. The EU's latest answer seems likely to involve another attempt at mandatory burden sharing. Poland and Hungary have resolutely resisted such plans in the past. It's unlikely that money or EU plans for quicker processing of asylum claims will change their views.
Kevin Conley reporting there. Checking the numbers now, benchmarks across Europe are up between 1.3 and 1.8% as tech shares rally. But fresh data showed business activity in the Eurozone stalled in September as a fresh wave of coronavirus cases swept the continent. Service sector declines more than offset the strongest growth in manufacturing in 2 years. It's a similar story in Australia, where manufacturing activity also rose to its highest level in 2 years this month. It comes 3 weeks after the economy officially entered its first recession in 30 years. The BBC's Phil Mercer, though, says there's doubt about how solid this recovery will be.
There is a cautionary tone by analysts saying that these figures show a stabilisation in Australia's private sector, but the survey suggests that the economic recovery here in Australia from the pandemic may falter. The prospect of higher unemployment is likely to drag the economy down. And you have to remember that Australia is in its first recession because of COVID-19 since the early 1990s.
Now, the travel industry, as we know, has been particularly hard hit by this pandemic. Qantas today slashed fares to try and get people in the air again as state border restrictions look like they may ease. But the airline is also cutting some of its corporate sponsorships to save cash, isn't it?
It will end a 30-year sponsorship of the Wallabies. That's the National Rugby Union side. Also, money won't be flowing into the cricket and football teams. Qantas say that these are desperate measures to save millions of dollars. The partnership with the Wallabies, the rugby union side, dates back to 1990. It threatens the very future of the game in the eyes of some commentators here. A statement from Qantas said that it's had to lay off thousands of staff, thousands of other workers are employed, but they're not being paid. So the airline says that it simply can't afford to be sponsoring sporting codes. And Qantas has said in the last few weeks that international routes in and out of Australia might not reopen until July of next year. So there could well be more pain to come.
The BBC's Phil Mercer for us in Sydney. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Victoria.
Like many industries, brewing has had to adapt during the coronavirus pandemic, and what's been a logistical nightmare for some has presented new opportunities for others. The BBC's Elizabeth Hodson brings us that story over a pint at the local pub.
I'm sitting in a pub garden having a pint, but this is a luxury I've only recently been able to enjoy again. For several months during lockdown, when pubs and bars were closed, I was either buying cans at the supermarket or getting them delivered. And during that time, what many countries had in common was a change in the way that alcohol and especially beer was consumed. Draft was out and cans were in. One business which had to grapple with the changes is Hackney Brewery in London.
I'm John Swain, I run Hackney Brewery, and we are stood next to the wall of kegs.
Yeah, there's got to be several hundred kegs here. Where are they going?
So they should be full and in people's cellars in the city, but everything's still closed, so they're empty here, and production's kind of half at the moment.
He said he lost 95% of his business overnight when lockdown went into force, but local residents stepped in to fill the gap, their pint glasses.
around the brewery here, we are surrounded by a big housing development on the other side of these arches, and we had quite a few emails from the residents being like, can we swing around and pick up some beer, because obviously the pubs are closed. And I think it's so important going forward that we don't lose that.
Halfway around the world, Jessica Martinez from Service Area Maltesa in Mexico City says she's been seeing another kind of silver lining.
The two macro breweries, Modelo and Moctezuma Cuauhtémoc, stopped their production by the end of April.
With no products available from the two big Mexican companies owned by brewing conglomerates AB InBev and Heineken, there was a unique opportunity for craft brewers, many of which had stock which could be canned up and sold to customers who hadn't tried that kind of beer before.
Many consumers started consuming craft beer because there was no other products. You couldn't find in any place industrial beers. So that was a huge opportunity for us.
So in amongst the destruction wrought by coronavirus, there do seem to be some rays of light for craft beer. And I'm going to order another pint just to do my bit to help. Cheers. In London, I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
Indeed, cheers to that. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.